Well, it's a joy to share with you this morning as we celebrate the resurrection of our Savior. As I think back to my time as a child, the scene of Easter morning at our house was nothing short of amazing. We, as kids, would wake up to this bunny, a woven bunny basket filled with Cadbury eggs and jelly beans and marshmallow peeps and that little grass that's made of plastic that you think you can eat, like the first year you get the bunny and then you realize it's just plastic green grass, you can't eat it. But what was so amazing about that for us kids is that was waiting for us when we woke up. There was no Easter egg hunt. It was just there on the kitchen table. So after a breakfast of jelly beans and peeps and Cadbury eggs, we'd head off to Sunday school and church, and we'd go to a sunrose service, and the adults were a little tired. They were down in coffee, one cup after another, and I was down in punch, one cup after another. So just high on my sugar buzz, full of jelly beans and punch, we'd head off to Sunday school and church, and after church, enjoy just a huge spread, ham, all the fixings, more sugary drinks, and then the sugar coma and crash. Well, that was the adults. The kids, we would play and enjoy family and friends, and it was amazing. It was amazing. Only as I got older did I begin to start to realize the effort and the time and the preparation that went into that, with my mom getting all the baskets ready and getting the lunch ready, and my dad, all the work that he would do getting ready for the service at the church. And I'm starting to realize that as I get older. A lot of work that goes into it. And maybe amazing is not the word you would use this morning to describe your attitude rolling into this Easter service. Maybe it would be busy. Busy because of what you've already done this morning and what needs to be done as you anticipate guests and time together this afternoon around the dinner table. All the travel, all the work that it takes to get the kids ready. I understand that just a little bit. Maybe the word would be feuding. I mean, after all, it is family getting together. Maybe it's going to be a difficult afternoon. Maybe tiring. Food coma, sugar rush. My goal this morning is to just bring us back to the text, to focus our minds this morning on the reality of the amazing resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it's very easy to do looking at God's Word, because as we look at the resurrection, as we look this morning at a few different scenes concerning the resurrection, we're going to see one word come up over and over again. And it's the word amazing. Amazement, astonishment, astounded. We're going to see that, in fact, the resurrection is nothing short of amazing. Turn with me first as we consider the amazing reality of the resurrection to the book of Mark. We'll start in the book of Mark, chapter 16. We'll spin around the New Testament a little bit this morning, looking at these different examples of amazement with the resurrection as we again try to prepare our minds and our hearts for this day and for what truly is significant about it, the amazing resurrection of our Lord and Savior. So first, here in Mark chapter 16, in the first 8 verses, we're going to see that the women were amazed to discover the empty tomb. The women were amazed to discover the empty tomb. Jesus was gone. He was not there, but there was an angel there. Luke says there were two, and they were there to report what happened. This angel visitation in itself is amazing. Look with me at Mark 16, beginning in verse 1. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome, they bought spices so that they might come and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. They were saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance of the tomb?" Looking up, they saw that the stone had already been rolled away, although it was extremely large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting at the right, wearing a white robe. And they were amazed. They were amazed. The idea here is that they were utterly astonished and amazed. The verb here actually has a prefix in the Greek, an ex prefix, which means it's a compounding here. It means they were utterly amazed. Maybe your Bible says they were alarmed. It's possible your translation says they were alarmed, or maybe they were affrightened. Those are good translations too, because in the parallel account in Luke chapter 24, verse 5, it says that the women were terrified. They were terrified in utter amazement. And it's no wonder. It It's no wonder. Here Luke gives a very bare bones, or Mark gives a very bare bones account, but as you compare the other Gospels, you find out that the appearance of this angel is like lightning, had clothes that were as white as snow. The guards that were attending the tomb, it says, fell down like dead men. So it's no wonder they were amazed, that they were terrified. But this amazement was just the beginning, because the explanation of the angels is cause for even greater astonishment. Let's pick back up in verse 6. And the angel said to the women, "Do not be amazed. You are looking for Jesus the Nazarene, who has been crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold, here's the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." And then verse 8, "They went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had gripped them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. They were gripped. They were held fast, as it were, by trembling, by fear of seeing the angels. But they were also held fast. The idea is they were overwhelmed. They were astonished at what the angel had to tell to them. See, the angels were there to make sure that they did not miss the significance. Jesus' body was not stolen. The women did not go to the wrong tomb. They were in the right place. Jesus didn't somehow swoon on the cross. He didn't just go unconscious for a time and then be revived in the cool tomb. No, the angels were there to make sure that they got it right, that Jesus Christ had died but now was risen. And as our text says, they were gripped. They were held fast in astonishment, in amazement at what they learned from the angels. Well, it says there at the end of verse 8 that the women said nothing to anyone because they were afraid, but they didn't remain silent for too long, because they had a mission there from the angels to go and tell the disciples, and they did it. At first, they let their feet do the talking. They hightailed it out of there and began running to report what they had heard to the disciples. But they weren't the only ones that were running that morning. We know that. Peter and John, in one of the most famous foot races in all of Scripture, they too were running that morning, but they were running back to the tomb after hearing a report so that they too might see the empty tomb. Turn with me to the book of John, chapter 20. John chapter 20. We're going to begin in verse 3. Because the women weren't the only ones that were amazed to discover the empty tomb. Peter himself marveled at the empty tomb. The women marveled first, and then secondly, Peter marveled at the empty tomb. John chapter 20, beginning in verse 3. "So Peter and the other disciple went forth." They were running to the tomb, and they were running together, and the other disciple ran ahead faster than Peter and came to the tomb first. John 1. I respect that. He was a fast man. "Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he didn't go in. And so Simon Peter also came following him, and he entered the tomb, and he saw the linen wrappings lying there, and the face cloth, which had been on his head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. So the other disciple who had first come to the tomb then also entered, and he saw, and he believed." You don't need to turn there, but I'm going to flip back over to Luke chapter 24, because Luke actually summarizes this entire event in one verse. But instead of giving a description, he gives an interpretation of it. In Luke 24, verse 12, it says, "But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen wrappings only, and he went away to his home." And here it is. "He went away marveling at what he had seen." And the idea here is that Peter went away wondering. Maybe your Bible says that. Peter went on his way wondering. He was puzzled by what he saw. He was pondering it. He had heard a report. He had raced to the tomb. What he saw matched up with what he heard. But slow to believe like the rest of the disciples, he wasn't yet fully convinced, although he left in amazement, amazing wonder at what he had found in the empty tomb. The evidence that he saw is pretty convincing. He sees the linen wrappings still there, and he sees the face cloth rolled up. That definitely wasn't the work of a grave robber. If you were going to steal a dead body, you wouldn't unwrap it first. You'd be in a hurry. And the Jews didn't embalm people after they had passed, so it had been 3 days, potentially. It could be very smelly, very, very uncomfortable to handle a body at that state. Surely, if you were there to rob a grave, you would not have left things rolled up nicely. You would have left everything on and got out of there in a hurry. So John leaves. Or Peter leaves, he's pondering this, and he's in amazement. But Peter's not the only disciple amazed by what he heard and saw. There were two other disciples, not part of the 11, and they too were amazed at the report of the resurrection. Turn with me to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, we'll remain here for the rest of our time this morning as we consider two more amazing episodes in the resurrection of our Lord and Savior. Because in addition to Peter, there were two other disciples amazed by the women's report that Jesus was alive. And these two disciples are the two that we find beginning in verse 13 that are on the road to Emmaus. And instead of reading that, maybe I'll just summarize it. After hearing this report from the women, two disciples take off about a 7-mile journey to Emmaus. And on their way, they're talking with each other about what they had heard concerning Jesus and the report from the ladies. And a traveler joins them as they're walking. And they don't recognize him at first. But we know from the text that it is, in fact, Jesus himself. And this traveler, Jesus, says, What are you guys talking about? What's going on? And these guys they're dumbfounded. Are you the only one that hasn't heard about what happened to Jesus? Are you the only one that came to celebrate the Passover of the hundreds of thousands of people in the city that don't know about what happened to this great man whom they call a prophet, mighty in word and deed? And so they begin to explain it to them. But it's interesting what they say about the report they received from the ladies, because if you look at Luke 24 in verse 22, they describe the report they got. Verse 22 says, "But also some of the women among us amazed us when they were at the tomb early in the morning and they did not find his body. And they came, saying that they also had seen a vision of angels and that he was alive." They relate to Jesus this amazing report that they had heard. But yet, though amazed, they were not yet believing. Look at verse 25. Jesus says to them, "O foolish men and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Was it not necessary for Christ to suffer these things and enter into his glory?" And then verse 27, Jesus, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, explains to them those things concerning himself. I wish I was there to hear that. Sermons from the Old Testament from the Lord himself explaining exactly how the Old Testament had predicted and had prophesied that indeed the Messiah would die for sin and rise again. It actually wasn't until they recognized Jesus that they believed that it was him. Look at verse 28. It says that as they approached the village where they were going, Jesus acted as though he were going further. Verse 29, "But they urged him, 'Stay with us. It's getting towards evening. The day is now nearly over.' So he went to stay with them. And when he had reclined at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed it. And breaking it, he began giving it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight." After they recognized that it truly was Jesus, they decide, you know what? We just made this journey, this 7-mile journey. We got to go back. So they turn around and they head back to Jerusalem to share the news with the rest of the disciples concerning the risen Lord. But the rest of the disciples were not unlike them. They were still slow to believe. Even hearing this report from the two disciples there that had encountered Jesus on the road to Emmaus. In fact, it took Jesus standing in their midst to convince them. And in fact, it even took a little bit more than just Jesus standing in their midst to convince them. Lastly, we're going to see that the 11 disciples, they could not believe the resurrection because of the amount of joy and amazement that had overwhelmed them. Look with me at verse 36. While the two disciples are telling the 11 these things, he himself, Jesus, stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be to you." But they were startled and frightened and thought that they were seeing a spirit. And then he says to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do doubts arise in your heart? See my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see, for a spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. So Jesus interrupts these two men. He explains that it's him. He says, look, my hands, my feet. But the disciples still couldn't believe it. Look at verse 41. While they still could not believe it, because of their joy and amazement. What Jesus was telling them was so amazing that it was, in their minds, too good to be true. Too good to be true. But Jesus offers further proof. The last part of verse 41, he says to them, "Have you anything to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it, and he ate it before them, offering further proof that indeed, this is not too good to be true. The amazement is right, and the amazement is concerning the reality of the resurrection of Jesus. As we think about these four episodes with the women and with Peter and with the disciples, and what are we to make of this? How are we to tie all these together? Why the amazement at the empty tomb by the women? Why Peter's amazement at the linen wrappings and the headcloth? Why the amazement of the two disciples on the road to Emmaus concerning the report from the women? Why the amazement by the 11 in the presence of Jesus causing them to disbelieve because it was too good to be true? Well, maybe just a couple of reasons. Number one, why the amazement? Because Jesus died and they knew it. Jesus actually died, and they understood that. The women knew that Jesus was truly dead. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 1, it says that when the women were coming, they were coming to look at the grave. They weren't coming to look at Jesus, they were coming to look at the grave. We know from the gospel accounts that they saw Jesus die. They knew where his body was. They made spices and then bought more spices to bring to anoint Jesus' body. And they wondered how they would roll the stone away. And then they encountered the angels. They were amazed at what they saw because they knew Jesus had truly died. The disciples knew it too. That's what the disciples on the road to Emmaus were talking about, Jesus' crucifixion. When Jesus appears to the 11, they first think that they see a ghost. Right? Because they know Jesus had died, and they needed to see the hands and the feet in Jesus eating in order to be convinced. We haven't talked about it, but the guards at the tomb knew that Jesus truly was dead. They were guarding a dead body. They saw the angels. They report to the religious leaders what they saw. The religious leaders knew Jesus was dead. Everyone knew Jesus had died. Look back at Luke. Chapter 24, verse 17. This is the conversation that the disciples on the road to Emmaus are having with Jesus. And Jesus says, "What are these things that you're talking about, that you're exchanging with one another as you walk?" In verse 17. "And the disciples stood still looking sad." Verse 18. "One of them, named Cleopas, answered and said to him, 'Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem and unaware of the things which have happened here in these days?'" Are you it? Is there possibly a person in this entire city that doesn't know Jesus died? Because if there is, you are that person, because everyone knows what happened to Jesus. They are amazed because Jesus died, and they were sure of this. And they were amazed because Jesus rose again. And they all came to understand this at different points. But they knew he was dead, But they knew he was alive. And when you read the accounts of the resurrection, the word you continually see is amazement, because this just doesn't happen. This just doesn't happen naturally. This was supernatural, a supernatural act of God. Jesus was alive, and they all came to believe it. The women, rather quickly, right at the tomb. The guards, I'm sure, right away. When the earthquake happened and the angel showed up and they hit the deck, they knew something was going on. The religious leaders, they knew it. They knew it. They came up with a plan to try to prevent people from understanding the truth. And then the disciples, the men, the guys with thick skulls, they knew it too, but it just took a little bit longer. But the result is amazement. So what about us? What about us this morning? Are you amazed at the resurrection? Are you amazed at the resurrection? And how so? Is it something that you ponder? Is the resurrection something that frightens you because of where you are in your life? Or is the resurrection something that you have come to believe and know, but the amazement has faded over time? Let it not happen. As mature Christians, we of all people must continually be amazed at the record of the resurrection of our Savior. This morning, let us not lose sight of the amazing reality of the resurrection. Fifth and finally, briefly, there's one more amazing reality of the resurrection. Look with me at Luke chapter 24, beginning in verse 44. Now he, Jesus, said to them, the 11 disciples, "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that all things which are written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ would suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance for forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem." The fifth and final amazing reality of the resurrection is that it proves that Jesus' death on the cross provides repentance from sin, that his resurrection allows us to be reunited with our Creator, that we can be free from the penalty of sin, from the power of sin, and that one day, if we trust in him for salvation, we too will receive a new body, like Jesus's when he appeared to the 11, and at that point, we will finally and forever be free from the presence of sin as well. And the amazing resurrection proves this. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we are so excited to be in your house to worship you this day. We come every Sunday because on that day, we remember each and every week the reality of the resurrection. That's why we celebrate. That's why we gather on Sundays. But Father, on this day in particular, we spend extra time thinking and considering and pondering the resurrection. Oh, Father, I pray that it would grip us just like the astonishment that gripped the women, that we would be held fast by this truly amazing experience event that you accomplished, Father, for us in order to save us from our sin. Thank you again for the resurrection. Thank you for Jesus. We pray for your blessing this day as we continue. In Jesus' name, amen.